Facebook isn't the best source of entertainment out there, but a lot of us are on it. But when it comes to articles like this one, I got a real blessing in it, and I shared it with Candy yesterday while we weren't able to see the full eclipse, the effects of the actual eclipse itself. But when you look around outside, it was dark. It was just like nighttime. And I thought of this article that I read. This lady named Lynn Bennett Wilkerson says, "There's so much excitement and anticipation around the eclipse coming up on Monday. I mean, what's not to love? The moon blocked out of the sun and darkness in the middle of the afternoon. It's a phenomena that the whole country is anticipating and hoping to have the right glasses to view. But could I tell you about another day the sun went dark and refused to shine? It was the darkest day in history 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man was hanging on the cross. The scriptures give this account in Mark 15, 33 and 34. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' The sun was darkened for 3 hours as the Father turned away from the Son for the first time in all of eternity. There was a separation of the Father and the Son. Our finite minds cannot comprehend such love for us that God would sacrifice His Son. And why would the Son willingly give His life for the sins of the whole world? It's beyond our human comprehension. Darkness in the middle of the day, creation mourning, the killing and the death of the Lord of creation. But praise God, it didn't end there, not in darkness. The darkest day in history was turned into the glorious daylight as the sun arose on the third day. Salvation was complete. The eclipse on Monday will be an amazing event, but not life-changing. And I pray that it's a reminder that even as beautiful as it was, it did kind of put you back to thinking about Christ. And that's what we're to constantly be in the mindset, is to think only Him. Oh, excuse me. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and get this study underway. Dear Heavenly Father, in Christ our Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this day and all the blessings You give us in it, Lord. We thank You for that You did on the cross, that gave mankind the ability to live again, that forgives man of his sins. No matter what they are, You can forgive them, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, as being a member of Your body, we're thankful for that You did from before the foundation. Lord, in all these things we ask, and Lord, we ask that You be with me as I bring forth a little portion of truth to help the body, or help the fruit of the Spirit, because, Lord, You know that I'm studying about the fruit. And Lord, we know that You are the vine that feeds that fruit. Lord, in all these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me get my recorder going. Again, I couldn't help but think about that when we couldn't really see the blessing of the eclipse, but yet you think about the blessing of what Christ did for us. This is my fourth study on fruit, fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Tonight's word study in fruit of the Spirit is going to be long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is that which the Holy Spirit produces. It's not without design. The apostle uses the word Spirit here as noting that these things do not flow from our own nature. The vices in verses 19 to 21 are the works of the flesh. That by nature comes within man. The result of the human, the results of operations of the human heart. The virtues which man produces are by special spiritual influence, which is the Holy Spirit. The earthly fruit that we consume is the finished product from the earthly vine that gives health and nourishment to the body. Just like the fruit of the Holy Spirit from God, even Christ strengthens the body with all His godly attributes through the vine, and that vine is Christ. In John 15:1, says, I am the true vine. In John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. This vine that is Christ is our sustainer. We constantly think on him, and he allows us to be that fully ripened fruit to display to the world that the attributes that we display is of his making, his creation, his works, his word. Fruit of the Spirit is also associated with our walk, because the direction of our walk is determined by the mindset and heart of the body. Scuba divers, when we're underwater, we go in different directions, and it's not by flailing our arms left and right. We don't use our arms hardly at all. We keep our arms dangling by our side. If we want to go to the left or the right, we turn our head. The way that you turn your head, the way that you look, is the direction that you go when you're a scuba diver. It's the same way when you're driving on the road. A motorcycle safety course teaches that if there's an object in the road, do not look upon that object or you will hit it. It's a natural phenomena to go to the direction that the heart or the head directs it. A person's walk is determined by the mindset and the heart of that person. The body, whether it's the body of Christ or a physical body, will automatically walk the path of righteousness if they keep Christ on their heart and on their mind. One could say these virtues are a heart issue, and they're right. But mindset and the heart are so closely related, they are the two most important organs in the body. When either one malfunctions, the body is useless or dead. Other organs in the body can be taken out or replaced, and they can even replace the heart. But the mind and the brain, they can't replace that one yet. Looking at all the virtues, and I had a list around here somewhere. I ain't gonna name all of them because y'all seen the heart at the conference of how many they are, but there's mercies, hospitality, forgiveness, cherish, patience, temperance, humbleness, joyfulness, and the list just goes on and on. And I'm going to be giving a continuing series on these with hopefully one or two in each lesson. You can see where the mindset comes first by following Christ. All else falls into place. The inner strength that a Christ-led fruit produces has more strength than any human imaginable. That's my words. The body member draws from the strength of the spirit. Hence, the body is the fruit, the mindset, the display, the temperance that the person displays is the fruit of the spirit. The attitude that the person displays is the fruit of the Spirit. In my second study, I related to the fruit as having a vine to nourish, and in John, that vine is Christ. If you abide in Him and His Word, you can bring it forth fruit. The fruit mentioned here is more of a fruit of works and reward, whereas in Galatians, it's more of an inward dwelling fruit of the heart and mind. John 15:1-6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Christ is our vine. This is a dispensational book that is prior to us, but this is actually truth for a day as far as the Christ being the vine that supports the body. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is doctrinal truth. My last study was on the negative mindset and the destruction anger leads, which is stronger emotions. In Ephesians 4:31-32, we went over that, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But Paul expressed the proper direction of the body member in verses 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Tonight's study is on long suffering. In Galatians 5:22, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The attributes of the fruit is displayed here in Galatians to me seem more of a mindset than a physical situation. But looking at long-suffering, the Greek form is 31:15. It's macrothumia. And if you say it real fast, it sounds like you're saying macrame, which would be long-suffering for me if I tried to make macrame or do macrame. That wasn't even funny. Anyway, the physical long-suffering in James, looking to a prior dispensation, James 5:10 states, Take my brethren, the prophets, who has spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now this was physical suffering that these prophets took upon themselves to do in the name of the Lord. Every time a prophet come up in the name of the Lord to portray God's word, he was either killed or beat or whatever. In 1 Timothy 1, 12, 14, and I thank Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant in faith and love, which is Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This pattern is a Greek form, hypotyposis. It's 5296. It's a typification, a sketch, or an imitation, or form. It says, this is a faithful saying, for this cause. In 16, for this cause, or for this very purpose, in my case, that in me is in my case, and show is to his own glory. And all long suffering, that is the whole of Christ, long suffering, namely, and bearing so long with Paul while he was a persecutor. Paul is talking about the long suffering here is the long suffering of Christ. Not of his own long suffering, but the long suffering of Christ. And the belief rests on him as the only foundation on which faith relies, and that's Christ. In 2 Peter 3:15, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. In 16, as also in all his epistles, all of Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned or unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter is possibly referring to Paul having written to these saints, and which saints? When comparing what is said here and in Romans 9, 22 and 23, what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. Long suffering today can be expressed in 2 Timothy. And we can also relate this as truth for today easily by implication. I feel this is our long suffering that we are to endure with patience also. In 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions. That's a Greek form 2553. It's to undergo hardship. That's kakapatheo. It's to be afflicted, to endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. This is what the body members are to struggle with, by not only traditional churches, but family members that fall in line with traditional teaching. I know personally there's been arguments among family members that are traditional church members, and you try to express to them Scripture rightly divided, and you do it out of love, but some point during the conversation it can get ugly, and that hurts when you have somebody that is so near and dear to you that all you want them to do is to see the truth and to know that there's a better hope, to know that there's a better resurrection than what their preacher is laying on them on the pulpit. But that's where our pain and suffering is at. What I'm saying. As far as being beaten for our words, for our truth, right now we're not doing that. Who's to say what's going to happen in the next year, next 2 years? Only God knows what the truth is going to lead. But our suffering today is more of a mindset suffering. It's a suffering of the heart when we see, like I said, family members that just fail to just ignore the truth that we put forth. But all we can do is just pray. Pray that the Lord can open their hearts and their eyes and to see the truth that is being put forward. We all have family members somewhere, whether they're nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, or daughters, that just fail or intentionally ignore the truth. Sometimes they don't even walk their own belief when it comes to traditional teaching. But that is where I, Tony McCurry, feel like our suffering is at. The same verses in Rotherham, you can read along with what Chip has already posted, but in Rotherham it states, I adjure thee before God in Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging living and dead, both as to his forth shining and his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Take thy position, in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage with all longsuffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the hateful teaching they will not endure. Helpful teaching they will not endure. But according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside. But thou, be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled. My long suffering is nothing compared to the sufferings of Christ, Paul, and the prophets. But when seeing family members reject right division and even argue how we ought to we are how to work for our faith in his word rightly divided, is our pattern of suffering or patience that we do in fact endure. In Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I therefore, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now he's talking to body members here. This is the way that we are to do each other. But we're also to do this with our family. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And in the comparable verses in Colossians 3:12-15. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. You could say instead of put on therefore as the elect of God, you could say display that fruit of the Spirit. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, it always comes out to love. Put on charity. Wear the fruit. Display the fruit of charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body. And be ye thankful. Well, thank you, guys. And you could look at long suffering. It really wasn't long suffering, but this is just a little something that happened to me and Candy this morning. You get ready and you take the dog out. As soon as you open the door, a skunk has done sprayed your front porch. Well. Needless to say, you're going to suffer a little bit, because that is a very pungent odor that you're not going to get rid of too quick. So our house has a slight aroma to it, but I hadn't figured out yet. Apparently something ticked off a skunk on our front porch this morning, and we got a little dose of it. So, but I hope you guys receive a blessing out of this, and just, all we can do is just pray for each other as far as the long suffering of God's word, and that we that we all keep the patience and the proper temperament, that we can be a display of the fruit of the Spirit within ourselves. I love you guys, and let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for this day, and Lord, for all the things you give us in it. Lord, the wonders that some of us saw yesterday was beyond words that could be seen of how darkness can come in the middle of the day because of taking away the sun. But Lord, we can't fathom what it would be like without the sun. I can't. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And all these things in Christ's name. Amen.